Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Wildcats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. And Transition is brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, that's who you want to do it. Shout out to Amy Kite. Man. Yesterday, we were all making fun of one Matthew Aloysius Spiegel. We were all making fun of him.
I was leaking confidence.
Confidence in his tweets and everything else. But he is not just a multi-level baseball individual. Folks, you can call him Scoops.
Oh my
Scoop
God.
Spiegel. With the scoop on Marcus Stroman. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you. It's nice. I'd like to thank my family. Yep. I'd like to thank my agents as well. Yeah, it's a whole new world. I don't know.
Who else would you like to thank?
Well, let's see. No, not you. You had nothing to do with anything.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, no. I'd like to thank.
In fact, he was mocking you.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I'd like to thank my sources, who turned out to be
who came out to be
solid. I'd like to thank them, and I'd like to apologize to Mark Conkle of Patch.com for being bus tossed like 50 times yesterday in reference to it.
Oh, I don't apologize for that. That was just funny. And yeah, you overcame the adversity of Lawrence and mostly me making fun of you. But, You know, Michael Jordan in his Hall of Fame speech mentioned the kid who made the team over him.
Not only did he mention him, he brought him there, Danny.
That's right.
Did he fly him there?
Yes. He brought him there to mock him to his face.
Man.
Yeah, so Spiegs, when you're working for, you know, when you're taking Passan's job, even though he just resigned, or, you know, Morosi was texting me saying that you were sniffing around at Fox looking to be the insider there with him and Rosenthal, you know, they're worried that you're coming for him.
Nah, it's a little too low on the totem pole. Like, here's the thing.
They have the World Series.
Now that I'm a newsbreaker.
That's a good point.
Yes.
I'm going to be offering some seminars. I recommend that Passan takes the full hour. Heyman, probably just to 30 minutes. Either one of them, I think you sign up for three up front. You pay up front for three. It ends up being a better value for you.
What are we charging for that?
Oh, it's undisclosed. Just trust me.
Okay.
It's worth it. Passan for the full hour, I think, makes all the sense in the world. Don't you guys?
What type of slideshow you got at this thing?
Oh, man, there's PowerPoint. There's all kinds of stuff. And actually, the only cost is you have to give me all of your contacts. So maybe I could have a second one someday.
This is not your first. There will be more. And I don't know. I don't know the story of how this came together. Obviously, I'm curious. But, man, you nailed it. You hit it out of the park. But I do feel bad for our boy, Lawrence, because in 95% maybe of scoops like this, he would have had to get credit from everybody. But when Stroman himself is the one who tweets it like, it's official, I'm a Cub, like, everyone's going to immediately be like, well, from the horse's mouth, you know, like, Can't have a better source than that. So I do feel like in like the credit space that media traffics in sometimes, Spieg's got scooped by Marcus Stroman. Whereas if it was Jeff Passan or Ken Rosenthal who came out with the contract details first, they would have all had to have said Matt Spiegel first. But once Stroman confirmed it, I feel like he scooped your scoop.
I don't know.
I feel like most people were like, yep, Spiegs was on that.
But it's not like I was following up saying they're even closer, you know, and then like tantalizing stuff. And then I had the deal is done. I didn't have any of that. I just had hot and heavy. And wouldn't that be nice?
It would have been really funny if Marcus Stroman would have tweeted credit to Matt Spiegel, who was on this first.
Who had it before I had it.
I want to talk to that guy. I want to get to know that guy. We're going to get to know him a little bit with some audio and some information and some context during the show today. That's a very it's a fascinating guy and a fascinating pitcher. Because, like, just the baseball part of it alone, he gives up a lot of hard contact.
He does.
The good news is that it is almost all on the ground. Like, his ground ball rate last year was the lowest of his career at 50.8, and it was still eighth in all of baseball. That's the lowest of his career. Like, that's what that dude is. So they need some defense in that infield, but he's going to be a guy. I mean, everybody's, like, all Cub fans are really happy about it right now, but you'll end up feeling a certain way about Marcus Stroman for a lot of different reasons. You know, there's going to be some layers to this thing.
Yeah, I would highly recommend Shakia Taylor's piece about his durags that she wrote. It's really, really good. And he responded to her and talked with her. So, I mean, if you want to get to know him, because he is going to probably rock the durag underneath his Cubs cap.
That's Curly Fro on Twitter.
You should check out the piece that she did on Marcus Stroman. You will learn a lot about him. I also think it would be made a lot better if once the lockout is over that the Cubs could end up with Carlos Correa as well, because that's now a name that has been kind of connected with the Cubs and the Yankees, obviously, because the Yankees can offer him $300-400 million. Wouldn't it be crazy if after the teardown that was and Jed taking over, that they walk out of it with the number one free agent and spend the money to get him?
Well, what did they say, Danny? They said that they wanted to be more like the Yankees and the Red Sox, who took their 1 year breather and went backwards. Then they wanted to be like the Tigers or the Phillies and fall off the table completely. So they dealt all their guys for as many prospects as they could. And if they really do spend like that and come charging back with some talent and making themselves attractive again, that would be a fascinating development.
It would. Correa would surprise me, but it would be incredible. And Lawrence, I was telling Speaks before the show, you know, I know Bernstein's done this forever, and I agree with him largely. You know, the point of pro sports is to win a championship, but like it is an entertainment product, and it's a diversion. Man, Marcus Stroman seems interesting. Like, and interesting is a currency, right? Like, good, bad, just don't be indifferent and don't make me bored. Like, the things that he does on social media, and to your point on Carlos Correa, the guy's with the Cubs, and he's immediately tweeting to Carlos Correa to join him in Chicago.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that is just the kind of guy who is going to rock the boat and just do unpredictable, non-conventional, post-millennial social media athlete things, which, you know, we've talked about a lot, and every city is kind of, their media base is kind of getting around to figuring out how to cover a guy like that, because they kind of need traditional media less, because they just like, well, I'm good at this other thing, and that gets my message out there, and I'll control it my way and do it my way. So maybe he is a recruiting tool for Carlos Correa. That would be ridiculous.
Forgive me, Lawrence. I don't know if you shared this item. You probably did, but this item from Mike Deportes, who said that Correa had called Javier Baez
and asked him what it was like to play for the Cubs.
Yes, and this same guy, Mike Deportes, he's the one who had Baez to the Tigers first. So that guy knows how to get to Javi Baez.
Mike Sports.
Yeah, Mike the Sports, right? Or is it Deportes? Is it just sports, or is that the sports?
No. That's just sports.
Okay,
that's just sports. I can understand why that would be confusing, though.
Yeah,
but,
right?
But isn't that...
El Deportes would be the sport.
Isn't that exciting? If that's true, that the due diligence of it and saying, oh, well, maybe they... And I mean, look, I'd also seen that he kicked the tires on Detroit. That because of A.J. Hinch, that he went and talked with his old manager. And once they signed Javi, I was like, oh, well, there you go. He's out.
And you want to kick the tires on a lot of teams. You want a lot of teams to be kicking the tires on you.
For sure.
So, yeah, it makes sense. And there's still – I mean, the market has worked out very well for Carlos Correa.
Yep.
Corey Seager was expecting a 275. He got 325. Javi Baez, some people were thinking 70, 80, 90. He gets 140. You know? And Trevor Story's still out there, but Correa's the best by a mile. Lindor's 340 from last year. I mean, it's just – it's screaming – for Carlos Correa to get 350, 380, something ridiculous like that.
From a baseball standpoint, Spees, let me start with you on this. And Danny, I'd love to know your thoughts on it as well.
Oh, thank you, Lawrence.
Would it make sense? Well, I mean, I got scoops here, so I got to ask scoops first.
Sure, no, I understand.
I'm actually Googling where the phrase or the idiom kicking the tires comes from, so I'm glad that you asked Spiegel first.
I'm sure it has to do with buying cars and if cars would fall apart when you kick them back in the day. I'll find that out. I want to know. I actually do want
to
know.
I would kick the tires on a jalopy, to your point.
From a baseball standpoint, I know that Carlos Correa was, a 7-WAR player last year. He is one of the best players in baseball. But considering the type of money that he would command, would it make sense for the Cubs at this point to give him that money?
Oh, man. It's like 10 years at that volume always scares me. No matter who it is, I think he is a remarkable player, obviously, able to make a tremendous amount of contact along with the power, and he's beautifully fluid at shortstop, and he's a proven winner, and teammates have loved him, and he may or may not have cheated like crazy along the way and then lied a whole bunch about it or been passionately telling the truth in a way that we didn't understand. There's some people who believe him, by the way, when he was talking, because he was the guy who came out and talked to media alone when they all had that terrible showing at spring training. Correa's a guy who kept talking and said, look, Altuve didn't do this, and had Altuve's back, and Rosenthal and others kind of thought that Correa was giving you more on it. But look, man. And 10 for 350, who are you going to feel good about that? The Bryce Harper deal looks great. He just won MVP, right? But it's like, but those last 3 or 4 years of the Bryce Harper contract are probably going to be awful. So, yeah, I bet the first 5 years of the Carlos Correa contract are going to feel pretty damn good by the time you get to the middle of it.
Danny, you like the allocation of assets if it's Carlos Correa?
I don't worry about, if not him, then who is worth that type of contract, right? That would be my thought. And the Cubs should be in the business of giving top 10 players in the sport big contracts to be on their teams. That's one of the perks of being a revenue-generating team as opposed to a revenue-sharing-receiving team. Like, you should be the type of team that helps set the market at the top. I got to say, just pulling up his baseball reference page, I'm a little surprised. He finally won a gold glove this past year. He's been in the big leagues for 7 years. He's made 2 all-star teams. He's a career 837 OPS.
Mm-hmm. So it's not as impressive as Machado at the moment when Machado was a free agent.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's never had 27 or more home runs in a season. When you hear the name Carlos Correa, and part of it is the winning and shortstop
and number one overall in the draft.
Yeah, rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. And that he's only 27, right? It's a totally reasonable assumption that he is entering in to his athletic prime, and he's been playing big league ball since he was 20 years old. So it's totally reasonable that his best statistical season or seasons are still to come. But if you would have said if I would have just said blind test to both of you, has Carlos Correa ever had a 30 home run season? I assume both of you would have said yes, right?
Yeah, I probably would have figured that there was one in there.
You know, like it just, so, so, uh, 10 years, $350 million as a contract for the Cubs. Like, Speaks, you said you don't feel good about that for anyone. I probably would. Like, they're the type of team who should be able to spend that contract on a top 10 player and not have it preclude them from spending money elsewhere. But just looking at him, it surprises me a little bit what some of that production was. Even though he, to Lawrence's point, he was a 7-win player last year, and then that absolutely justifies that type of salary.
Yeah, that defense at shortstop is a big deal, especially when you have ground ball guys like Marcus Stroman and Alec Mills probably
in your rotation.
The whole staff. Yeah, they got a lot of guys in the 40% ground ball rate. Mills was the only guy over 50. Also in that group, I got to say one thing. And look, you know, we're not gonna, I don't think, do a ton of it today in terms of the lockout, but...
Hold on. Scoops is about to be scooping. Okay.
No. It's just a thought.
Oh.
MLB.com, existing void of players, is about as artistic and emblematic a self-own as you can imagine. This is what the league is without players. You're freaking empty. You are nothing without your players. I am not interested in you without your players. And you yourself admit that you look at them as nameless,
faceless,
identityless, just, you know, like baseball bots that you slide in. And your website is an embarrassment right now. And it reminds us all that you don't exist. You don't interest us without your players. So just remember that, baseball. Remember the way that this is being responded to, because it's a cell phone from MLB.
Yeah, because I think it's worse than that, actually, because it just is so short-sighted.
Yep.
Like they didn't run it by anyone smart in terms of like PR or some sort of crisis management type of situation, because Twitter is more popular than MLB.com, especially not in season. So why would you possibly think that that would go over well with your fans or your players? They've completely co-opted that little thing and made it a joke, and it's probably united a players union that's clearly already united, but now they're all changing their avatars to it. I think it's actually kind of interesting how both sides have handled like day one of this, and I don't really have a ton of interest in doing like, man, this was the salvo on day 17 of the lockout, and this was how they handled day 36 of the lockout.
But the players have co-opted it. You know what it reminds me of, Danny? Remember when the parentheses thing was happening with Jewish people on Twitter, and some prominent Jews started putting the parentheses around their own name to try and reclaim it, just kind of take it back. And the players have now taken it back, and they are owning the owners who self-owned themselves in the first place. And there's a larger thing in terms of the socials here, with the social media and everything, is that the owners don't understand the real power. They do not get it. And the players will be able to get their message directly to people, while the owners are going to use their leak receptacles and have it come off condescending, and they're going to lose that battle.
It comes off so old.
Yes.
It comes off, oh, a website. Oh, we'll take their faces off of the website. And what I thought was hilarious, well, we'll delve into our history. Be careful with that. Be careful with putting a spotlight on your history as an organization, and then putting Roberto Clemente up there, who was one of the most outspoken members of the MLBPA. Like, it's who helped you with this? I was talking with Dan and Layla earlier in transition, and we were talking about how it's interesting to me that if you want to take the fantasy world and put it next to the real world, if you look at the show Succession, you understand why the Bears, for example, only talk to people that are inside the NFL, because they think that those are the only people that can understand them. This, what MLB did, it reeks of that. It reeks of a bunch of old people going, this is how we'll get them. We'll take them off of our website and it'll be a blow for us as ownership. And now they can't go back from this. Like them ceding ground, it's such a weird place to stake a claim. And it looks buffoonish.
It really does.
And it looks like you have no one advising you under the age of 75 on how to do this.
Sweeney Murdy covers the Yankees out of New York, and he said that it's a player likeness issue, but I don't believe that to be correct. Because it's not like they don't, these are old pictures, right? They're stock footage that Major League Baseball took and owned when the games were being played. So I don't believe that there is any sort of legal reason to scrub that, because Sweeney's saying on Twitter that MLB Network will be doing that as well. They'll be using blurred images of players. So maybe there is some sort of lawyer that's advising them that would suggest that, like, they need to do that to protect themselves from some sort of other lawsuit about the likeness of the players who currently are locked out.
I think so, and I think it might have something to do with the MLB shop, where you can still buy jerseys. Right?
Of course you can.
You can still buy jerseys with these guys' names on it, but you can't look at their face on the website. You know they've got that stuff legally vetted.
But right, absolutely, because one makes them money.
The other one makes them money too. Like the website itself and MLB Advanced Media makes them a lot of money.
The other one is the unspoken bond that creates the opportunity for money. That one where you actually feel connected to the players, like, oh, hey, I know that guy. I root for that guy. That's why the whole thing works. And that's the one that they're not allowed to co-opt in this time.
I just also, why not just come out? And this was on both sides, but Rob Manfred released his statement first, but both sides.
The worst.
Why was the statement so long? Like, what? Why? You know, everyone knows that this is going to be months, right?
And we all knew this was happening. Like, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah. So, like, I understand the desire to, like, address your fans, but why try to win court of public opinion when you know that this isn't going to get resolved in 2 weeks. So no one's going to remember this statement initially. Just say this lockout was procedural. It has, for the vast majority of fans, this has no impact on you whatsoever because we are not in danger of missing any games. Mm. We believe that this move is necessary in order to ensure both the long-term health of the game and that we do not miss any games and preserve the integrity of the 2022 season. We look forward to continuing negotiations with the MLBPA.
The problem is,
like, I don't get it.
I understand.
Why?
Because they don't understand that the guiding principle should be say as little as possible. That really should be the guiding principle.
And just do not put Rob Manfred in front of anything.
Just don't let it out. But they're not. There's going to be certain owners that want certain angles of what they believe to go to certain people, and Cashman will have his guy, and other owners will have their guy, and they'll be infighting through the obvious public leaks, and it's been an interesting
part of following this too, of the national guys that are clearly bootlickers, and them getting dragged for some of the stuff that they've already said about this.
That's why they need to take my seminar. That's exactly why. You know? Because yeah. I would help
you
them
navigate.
I would help them navigate this very difficult world of source protection and you know, journalistic credibility. It's
you guys
a tough
have
place
to create
to
the website now. Like, someone's got to create this website.
Matt Spiegel's Newsbreaker seminar website. I'll do it. MattSpiegel.com is a thing for people who don't know. I should be putting that out there in this my big moment.
This has got to be something like really clearly independent of MattSpiegel.com.
Like one of those things at the end of John Oliver's show when they actually went through the trouble of creating the website to go along with the bit.
You have to do this like the guy in the progressive commercials too. Like, you've got to there's got to be like a couple of 15-second like videos of you going through how to break a news story when covering baseball.
No fussing.
I want this
no fighting,
so bad.
No back talking. Yeah.
And I think that to Lawrence's question earlier about the price of it, It needs to be astronomical.
Ridiculously priced.
You like, because the goal is one sucker.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I need.
You need it, it's got to be like $15,000.
Yes. I was going to say 10, but I like where you're at.
I like 15, where you're going.
No, Danny. $14,999
$99. That's a lot more appetizing. That's a good job. Yeah, like one of those people who has one of those MLB rumors with a Z accounts, like they're trying to break in.
Yeah.
One of those people will pay me $14,999 as part of their vanity effort to become a newsbreaker. I like it.
10 1-hour individual sessions on cultivating sources with Matt Spiegel, he of Hot and Heavy with Marcus Stroman.
I need pictures of you in a jacket that has patches on the elbow and a pipe.
Yeah, I can see the website. It's just like a patchwork of just copies of that tweet, right? It's just all, that's the wallpaper. It's like 40 versions of that in slightly different colors.
I think it all works.
It's just so ridiculous. Paul Ciarchian at 3, Dave Wannstedt, of course, in studio at 4. Getting to know Marcus Stroman a little bit and trying to figure out what is worth paying attention to and not outside of Justin Fields as we go down the stretch here, given that there is doubt on whether or not Justin Fields may or may not play in this game. That's what we're doing today.
Sounds like a show, boys. Have at it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Lawrence.
All right, Lawrence. Have a good one.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.